I just finished reading a wonderful little novel. It was something called Abide With Me. But there were a couple of problems with it. One is that it's about a minister, which either confounds me or makes me nervous or whatever when I read how other people do this work. The other problem is that I used to be an editor, and so if I find something in it that is a little off, I get obsessed about the mistake, and then I forget about the story. Well, in this book, the story has this minister thinking back on his time in seminary, and two or three times in the book, it uses the phrase systemic theology. Well, if you've been to seminary, you would like to forget, but you cannot forget, that what you take there is not systemic theology, it is systematic theology. I started thinking about the difference in the words and about how hypercritical I was being. And I looked at the definitions and just thought, is it me? Or, okay, systematic means done according to a system. It's the application of a structure or a system to something that you're dealing with. But to me, the word systematic theology never went together anyway. Because if you're talking about God and trying to fit God into our system, that gets a little dangerous and arrogant. But systemic means of, relating to, or affecting an entire body or system. Maybe systemic theology is what we need after all. We need something that changes our whole self. Our religion, our theology must change us. And not just our intellect, but our actions, our character, our morality, our relationships with others. If we follow Christ, we will find ourselves engaging not in a knowable, logical structure, but embracing a systemic change, one which works on the entire self. Author and historian of religion, Karen Armstrong, says this about theology. She says, if your understanding of the divine made you kinder, more empathetic, and impelled you to express sympathy in concrete acts of loving kindness, this was good theology. But if your notion of God made you unkind, belligerent, cruel, or self-righteous, or if it led you to kill in God's name, it was bad theology. She goes on to say, look into your own heart. Discover what it is that gives you pain, and then refuse under any circumstances whatsoever to inflict that pain on anyone else. Systemic theology means taking God to heart into our whole system of being and deciding and embracing. We are looking for that need for inner concrete transformation. And the fact that that is actually our goal in religion might help to explain why the angel came to some of Jesus' early followers and asked them, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. I think what they're trying to tell us is, continue to look here for Jesus, and continue to look here inside yourself for Jesus. This is not a matter of where Jesus' physical presence is, but of whether you have allowed Jesus to change you, to make you more in God's image. We get very obsessed sometimes with the physical things, with spatial things, because we can relate to those. And so there's some strange comfort in thinking that we're down here and God is up there, whatever that is up there. But we have made, over the course of human history, we have made incredible discoveries about what is physically up there. And so maybe some of our images that we have had in the past of Jesus physically ascending need to be adjusted and broadened into something that changes us. Writing about this ascension event, J. Joseph Campbell said this: Jesus has gone inward, not into outer space, but into inward space, to the place from which all being comes, into the consciousness that is the source of all things, the kingdom of heaven within. He says the images are outward, but the reflection is inward. The point is that we should ascend with him by going inward. It is a metaphor of returning to the source, Alpha and Omega, and of leaving the fixation on the body behind and going to the body's dynamic source. The dynamic source of everything we do is the image of God within us, and we are to be changed by it. This change was more obvious in the New Testament than in the Old Testament. With the coming of Jesus and this change that is wrought in us, we have begun to think less of God up there, distant from us, and more of Emmanuel, God with us and within us. The incarnation tells us to stop looking up there and to look at the ones around us and to look at ourselves. We need only look into our own hearts. For with the coming of Christ, God is here living with us and within us, not only up in the sky. The angels ask, "Why do you stand looking up to heaven?" It's as if they're saying the real business of heaven is here on earth. We are called initially to look toward heaven for guidance and for transformation. And if you've heard me speak before about the image of the cross, I think of it as these two lines, as this vertical line where we look up to God and say, "God, teach us what you need us to know." We work on that relationship with God. But it's not a cross unless we have the horizontal line of saying, "How do I relate to the people around me?" So I look to God, but then I take that and make it into something that transforms me, that helps me love other people. Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? Why indeed do we insist only on looking up toward heaven if God is here? God is here with us, around us, in us, and if our free will allows it, and we are able to trust God, God is within us, changing us. We cannot explain it. We cannot fit it into a logical structure or system. We are called ultimately to a place where heaven comes to earth, where we invite God to change us. So maybe after all, God doesn't want our theology to be systematic. God urges us to let our theology become systemic. Amen.